Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. So we are learning Perek Yud Dalet, and it's a long Perek, so this will be the final shir on Perek Yud Dalet, finishing up tonight, and Mirtz Hashem next week we'll continue with Perek Tesvav. And we're up to Pasuk Lamed Vav. So Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Vav. So if you remember the Perek so far, essentially Yonah's son and his no say Kalev. Right, the servant who would carry his schlepper, basically the one who would carry his weapons. So they launched this surprise attack. They originally, went as a spy mission, and then they made a sign. They saw that Hashem was with them, and they launched a surprise attack against the Plishtim. Pandemonium breaks out in the Plishti camp, and then of course Shaul is notified, sees what's going on. He jumps on the bandwagon, the Bnei Yisrael. Continue to fight with the Plishtim. They don't totally wipe them out, as we'll see in these psukim, but they do a pretty good job of defeating many of the Plishtim. At that point, Yonasan comes back. Before Yonasan gets back, actually, we have this incident that we learned about last week, where Shaul essentially makes an oath and a curse that no one is allowed to eat anything. We discussed that last week, why he did that. He didn't want the soldiers to get distracted, and perhaps he wanted them to fast, to do tshuva, whatever the case was. Yonasan was not aware of this. He wasn't in the camp when Shaul did that, and he came, and there was all this delicious honey. Rashi says it was sugar. Most of the Mefarshim say it was honey, and he dipped his staff into the honey, and he tasted it. And the soldier turns to him and he says, "Hey, your father, swore that no one was allowed to eat that and cursed." And Yonasan said, "Well, he made a mistake. He shouldn't have done that. And plus, he didn't know about it." And essentially, that's where we find ourselves, at this week, at Pasuk Lamed Vav, just at the end, the last couple of psukim. So we saw that things started to go wrong and the people were very hungry and they ate without doing Zrikas Hadam. They get from the Karbanos. And then finally, Shaul tries to right the ship at the end of last week. We learned that he built a Mizbeach and he tried to bring the Karbanos in the right way, etc. And that's what we're up to. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayomer Shaul. So Shaul now says, after this whole incident calms down, Nerda Acharei Plishtim Laila. Let's go finish them off, essentially, tonight. Let's go chase down the Plishtim, v'navoza vahem, and let's, navoza is from the language of booze, to take the booty, to take all the spoils. Ad or aboker, let's do it all night. Let's just wipe the floor with them, finish them off, take the spoils. V'lo nishar vahem ish, and we won't leave a man. We won't leave anyone. Vayomru kol hatov be'enecha asei. And they say to Shaul, okay, whatever you say. Right, you're in charge. Interesting, at the end of the pasuk, Vayomer HaKohen Nikruva Halom El HaElokim. All of a sudden, the Kohen pipes up and he says, "One second, let's bring this to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu what he thinks about this." Now, what is that referring to? So the Mefarshim say, ask the Urim V'Tumim. Right, as we know, before they went to war, they would always ask the Urim V'Tumim, "Is this a good idea? Is this something we should do?" So that's what the Kohen is interjecting. Let's ask the Urim V'Tumim what he thinks. Now, the Malbim asks the question, why didn't Shaul want to ask the Urim V'Tumim? Right? The Kohen seems to be saying something that makes sense. Ask the Urim V'Tumim before you go to battle. So how come Shaul didn't, it sounded like Shaul was ready to just go, without asking the Urim V'Tumim. So the Malbim says that Shaul thought, the Plishtim basically are already defeated. So what's this last push going to be tonight? It's going to be one last push to kill any remaining survivors, to take the spoils of war. That's what it'll be. But it's not going to be a real battle. This is not a real milchama here that we're going into. We already basically won the war. And therefore, Shaul didn't think that this mission warranted asking the Urim V'Tumim. Pasha, we should do it. It's not a shaila. Should we? Will we be successful? Of course we should do it, right? It's Pasha.
The sheep, they immediately take the plunder, the booty, whatever.
Exactly.
So why they're saying it again now?
In Pasuk Lamed Beis, hold on. Here it is. Let's see. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayas ha'om vayat ha'om el ha'shalol. Right. So they already took some of the spoils, right? But I guess, right. That's true. In Pasuk Lamed Beis, it already says that they took some of the spoils. So I imagine there were some spoils that they didn't take yet. Maybe they took the animals here, and there were other things that they didn't take. Right. No, it doesn't seem that. Right. It doesn't seem that way. But this was like a new battle, I guess, a new mission to go and route them, you know, to route them out. So that's when the Kohen interjected, they should ask the Urim V'Tumim. So if that's what the Malbim, so Shaul didn't think it was necessary to ask the Urim V'Tumim. So what did the Kohen think? How come the Kohen interjected and said, hey, I think we need to ask the Urim V'Tumim? So the Kohen argued that, hey, you know, you want to go tonight. Maybe the Plishtim regrouped. Maybe they regrouped. Maybe they recamped. And now you're going to go attack the Plishtim. It's going to be a whole new battle. It's not just finishing them off and taking the spoils of war. It's going to be a whole new battle. So a whole new battle. You got to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Okay. So Shaul hears the suggestion. Ask the Urim V'Tumim. Shaul says, no problem. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vayishal Shaul Be'lokim. So Shaul asks. He asks the Urim V'Tumim. Ha'ered acharei Plishtim. Should I go? Should I go down and fight against the Plishtim? Ha'sitnei Biyad Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Will you give the Plishtim into the hands of Klal Yisrael? Right? Will we be victorious? Velo anahu bayom hahu. No answer. Mum, the Urim V'Tumim does not respond to Shaul. So now Shaul is bewildered. Well, what's happening here? You know, I thought it was Pasha to go to battle. The Kohen says to ask the Urim V'Tumim, so I agreed. I thought it was a good idea. I asked the Urim V'Tumim and no response. Bayomer Shaul and Pasuk Lamed Ches. Goshu alom kolpinos ha'am. Shaul says, I want every man here. Everyone from all corners, right? From all corners, I want everyone here. Different interpretations, you know. Called pinos ha'am. So some of the mafarshim Rashi and others say that pinos ha'am, the corners, refer to the officers, the chashuvim. Just like the cornerstone of a building is the most important stone, so too the pinos ha'am are the important officers of the nation. That's who I want to come here. The Mitzudas David says he meant everyone because all the Shvatim would camp in different corners, different pinos. So he says, I want all the pinos. I want everybody. I want all the Shvatim. Everyone to come from where you're standing. And we have to figure something out here. Ude'u, ure'u, bama ha'isa ha'chatos ha'zos hayom. Shaul says, there must be a sin among B'nai Yisrael. Somebody here must have sinned. Somebody here must have sinned. Because otherwise, why isn't the Urim V'Tumim responding to me? So if the Urim V'Tumim is not responding, it must be that someone here sinned. And say the Mefarshim, Hayom! It's got to be that the sin happened today. Why? Because just yesterday, we were miraculously victorious in battle against the Plishtim. Right? So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us then. No one sinned then. And all of a sudden today, I'm not being answered by the Urim V'Tumim. Someone must have sinned Hayom. And we need to figure out what's going on. We need to figure out what's going on. No, he did not know. He didn't know what happened. Very good, right? Okay, Pasuk Lamed Tes. Ki Chai Hashem HaMoshiach Es Yisrael. So, Mefarshim will say Chai Hashem means he's swearing in Hashem's name. Right? Just like Hashem is alive, Hashem exists. I'm swearing in Hashem's name. Kim Yeshno B'Yonosan B'ni Kimos Yamus. He says, even if the sin is in my son Yonasan, he will surely die. He will surely die. I'm going to put him to whoever sinned, I'm going to put him to death, even if it's my son Yonasan. The Ein Onehu Mikol Ha'am. So nobody in the nation says a word because everyone knows what happened, right? The people knew. They knew what happened to Yonasan. Okay. Now, it's interesting. You know, number one, what's he saying here? Ki im yeshno b'yonasan b'ni ki mos yamus. You know, first of all, it seems like a very harsh punishment. He doesn't even know what the sin is yet, right? So, you know, whatever the sin is, it deserves the death penalty. You know, it deserves the death penalty. So you could make the argument, I didn't see this in the Mefarshim, but you could make the argument that, you know, listen, if the sin was so grave that the Urim V'Tumim are not responding, so that means it's deserving of death. That itself is a sign that it's deserving of death. You could say that. But, you know, otherwise, it seems kind of strange. You know, why the harsh punishment for what he doesn't even know what the sin is yet? So says the Malbim that what he's saying here is that if the sin is in Yonasan, my son, right? So Yonasan is very close to Hashem. How do we know Yonasan is very close to Hashem? Because he was responsible for the great Nes. The Nes of the defeat of the Plishtim so far happened in the Schus of Yonasan. So if he was responsible for the Nes, that means he's close to Hashem. If he's close to Hashem, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the Tzadikim kechut hasara. He judges them very particularly, very carefully, right? You can't, they can't mess up even a hair's breadth out of line. They can't mess up. So therefore says the Malbim that if Yonah's son is the one who sinned, then he'll have to be put to death. Why? Because as great as he is, like they say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That means that if he sinned, the sin is also greater, right? We think about Moshe Rabbeinu's sin, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, he hit the rock, Shimun Nahamorim. And what happens? He can't go into Eretz Yisrael. Seems like a very harsh punishment. But Moshe Rabbeinu, because of the Madrega he was on, so that small little veering from the path of Hashem, that small little, you know, rebellion against Hashem's word, that's deserving of such a grave punishment. It's interesting because this is the first time that Shaul introduces the death penalty for this. If you look back at Pasuk Chaf Dalet, where Shaul first said that, you know, he gave an arur, he gave a curse to the one who would eat from this honey. He didn't say anything about dying. He didn't say that someone who eats from this is going to die, right? He just said that arur. He said the person will be cursed. That's all he said. Now the Malbim here also quotes an interesting Ramban. It's the Ramban in Chumash. There's a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Chav Zayin that says Kol Cherem Asher Yocharam Min HaAdam Lo Yipade Mos Yumas. Any cherem that's established by a person cannot be redeemed, and most you must, the person will surely die. So what's that talking about? So the Ramban offers a couple of different interpretations, but he says, according to the Pashup Shah, he thinks what this Pasuk means is that Bastin, or the Sanhedrin, or whoever is the ruling body at that time, where he says the Melech as well, has the right to establish a cherem. To basically put something off limits. And if someone violates that cherem and they partake of something which the king or the Sanhedrin has designated as off limits, that's a chiyuv misa. And it's based on that pasuk of mos yumas. And the Ramban there in Vayikra says that this is why, this is the story, if you remember the story in Yehoshua, in Perek, I think it was Perek Zion of Yehoshua, with Achan, taking from the spoils, right? Yehoshua said no one's allowed to touch the spoils. Achan took the spoils, and he was chayiv misa. So why is he chayiv misa? Based on this idea. In Sefer Shoftim Perek Chaf Aleph, we learned about Yavesh Gilad, also another story where they were chayiv misa. And then finally says the Ramban that here, when it comes to Yonasan, because of what Shaul said, the reason why he was chayiv misa is because of this halacha. So the Malbim says that there might actually be a chiyuv misa here because Shaul was the melech. Shaul had the right to create this cherem. For whatever reason, he thought that he wanted to make this cherem that people shouldn't eat. And once he does that, so then anybody who violates the cherem is chayuv misa. That's one interpretation that the Malbim suggests for the chiyuv misa here. Okay, now how are we going to figure this out? The decree not to eat was only that day. Interesting. So the decree was only for that day. It was over at night. So we know the sin. We know the sin happened today. Right. It must be the sin happened today. Very good. Good. Okay. Pasuk Mem. By Yomer al Kol Yisrael. So he says, Shaul says to all the Jewish people, Atem tiyu le'ever echad, you all go to one side, va'ani ve'yonasan b'ni nihiye le'ever echad, and I and my son Yonasan will go to the other side. Va'yomru ha'am el Shaul, hatov be'inecha asei. So the people say, whatever you say. Whatever you say, Shaul, whatever you say, king. Right? Rashi says, the point is, he's going to make a lottery and try to figure out who's the sinner. Now, it's interesting, you know, because Shaul doesn't know that it was Yonasan. He doesn't know that Yonasan did anything. But we see already, you know, it's almost like he has an idea in his head that maybe it was Yonasan. The fact that he says in that previous pasuk that even if Yonasan is the one who sinned, he will surely die, right? The fact that he's separating himself and Yonasan. Now, you could say, well, maybe he's doing that because they're the leaders. Since they're the leaders, so maybe he felt, listen, if we're the leaders, so maybe we did something wrong, and that's why we're being treated this way. Or maybe not, meaning it's either in the leaders or it's in the Hamona. Sorry. Yeah, but how does Shaul know? But how does Shaul know? Shaul doesn't know.
Right. Maybe he's thinking, maybe I did something wrong as well.
Who, Shaul?
Yonasan is thinking I did something wrong.
Yeah, but Shaul is the one who's saying this now. Shaul is the one who's separating them.
He's not admitting that maybe he did something wrong. He's not coming to, not that he thinks, maybe he thinks he did something
wrong. Yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah, okay, Mem Aleph. Vayomer Shaul el Hashem, Elokei Yisrael. So Shaul says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hava Samim, Hava Samim. So Rashi says Hava Samim means allow the lottery to reveal the truth. Right? I'm gonna make a lottery and allow the lottery to reveal the truth. Vayilocheid Yonasan v'shaul v'ha'am yotzau. So the lottery came up, and Yonasan and Shaul, meaning it was clear that the two of them were responsible, and the nation was off the hook. They didn't do anything wrong. The Mitzudas David here makes a fascinating comment. And he says, what's Hava Samim? So again, Rashi says Hava Samim means, please allow the lottery to reveal the truth. Says the Mitzudas David, no, Hava Samim was Shaul davening to Hashem that the lottery should be guided by Hashem's Hashgacha and not Mikra, not coincidence. Fascinating. According to what the Mitzudas David says, what it seems to be, is that the Mitzvah Sabbath is saying there are multiple ways this could happen, meaning you make a lottery, so it could be coincidence, right? The New York lottery. So whichever ticket comes up, whichever ball pops up, that's the winner, right? And that's it. It's coincidence. It just happens. It's mikra. Or it could be Hashgachas Hashem. Or it could be Hashgachas Hashem.
So why not ask the Urim Tumim?
Ask the Urim Tumim what? Who sinned?
Who sinned?
It could be. That's what happened, if you remember. That's what happened in Yoshua, right? In Yoshua, they asked the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim kept lighting up, right? You know, which one sinned, right? It could be. It's a good question. It could be that here, maybe once the Urim V'Tumim did not respond the first time, Shaul said, you know what? I'm not going to ask the Urim V'Tumim. I need to figure out a different way of figuring out, you know, of determining who was the sinner. Maybe it's because the Urim V'Tumim already didn't respond. Maybe. But this Mitzudas David was fascinating to me, because what he seems to be indicating is, you know, like, you know, sometimes we say there's no such thing as coincidence, right? Everything is the Yad Hashem. Everything is Hashkachas Hashem. Mitzudas David does not seem to be saying that. He seems to be saying, no, the lottery could just go with coincidence and Mikra, and whoever pops up, or it could be guided by the Hashkachas Hashem. So Shaul's davening, Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, you know, inject your hashgacha here so that your divine providence, so that the lottery will actually reveal who the sinner is and won't just pop up with a random name because of mikra, because of coincidence. Now, this is consistent because there are many who explain, the Ramchal, for example, in Derech Hashem, and I think others also, even Rishonim also say like this, is that, you know, we talk about hashgacha pratis, that Hashem has divine, Hashem runs the world with divine providence. So the question is, you know, to what degree is Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis in the world?
right? Something happens to me. Does that something happens to you? Does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained that very specific incident to happen? So the Ramchal says that it depends on your level of righteousness. It depends on your level of tzidkus. If you're a regular Joe, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically allows the world to run with teva, with nature. Hashem set up a system of nature. Built into nature is some element of coincidence, right? Some element of mikre, and things can happen like that. Says the Ramchal, the more of a tzaddik you are, the more righteous you are, the closer you are to Hashem, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to intervene directly in your life and arrange things and manipulate things. That's the Hashkacha Pratis. But that only happens with the tzaddikim. Regular people are basically subject to nature. But a tzaddik, someone who's closer to Hashem, Hashem will intervene more directly into their lives. So that's what the Mitzudah Stavit seems to be saying. You know, the lottery could very well happen with Mikre. The name that pops up could be like the New York Lotto, right? The New York Lottery. You know, some random guy, you know, in the Hudson Valley wins the New York Lottery. Is that the Hashkachas Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, intervene in the New York Lottery and make sure that this person won? You know, the guy might be a guy, he might be a yid, from, not from, you know, who knows? So according to this, in most of these cases, it's coincidence. It's mikra. You know, millions of people buy a ticket. Somebody's got to win. The balls pop up and whoever wins, wins. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can intervene. He can manipulate. And he can cause so that someone else should win. You know, a frum person or a specific person should win. But that person has to be a tzaddik. Meaning that person has to be righteous. That person has to be close to Hashem. Hashem doesn't intervene. Hashem doesn't start meddling and manipulating nature unless the person is close to him. Well, maybe yes, maybe no, right? But that's the Mitzudas David. That's how the Mitzudas David understands this. To me, this is a fascinating comment. You know, it could be coincidence. It could be Ashkacha. So Shaul is saying, Hava Samim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please allow this to proceed with Ashkacha. Membeis. Vayomer Shaul. So Shaul says, okay, so I know it's either me or Yonasan, but now we got to figure out which one. Vayomer Shaul, Apilu Beini Uvein Yonasan, Beni. Okay, now let's make another lottery. Is it me? Or is it Yonasan, my son? Vayilochet Yonasan, and Yonasan was guilty. Yonasan was found to be guilty. He was the guilty party. So now, Shaul turns to Yonasan, Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayomer Shaul Yonasan, Hagidali Me'asisa. What'd you do? Right? Clear from the lottery that you messed up here, that you sinned, that you did something wrong. What'd you do? Vayagidlo Yonasan Vayomer. So Yonasan tells him and he says, Ta'om ta'amti b'k'tzei hamate asher b'yadi me'at kadash. He says, I tasted. I took my staff and I dipped it in the honey and I tasted a little bit of honey with my staff. Hinini amus. And I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. So, you know, first of all, the Mitzudas David says, you know, he admitted. He said he was prepared to die. He didn't complain, right? He didn't complain. This shows the tzidkus of Yonasan. You know, he says, I did something wrong, and that's it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Says the Malbim, you know, what's even more fascinating here is that if we think about this in context, if you look back to Psukim Chavtes and Lamed, Yonasan thought his father was wrong. Remember when the man came to him and said, Yonasan, what are you doing? Your father, you know, made us, he swore that no one was allowed to touch this stuff. Yonasan said, my father's crazy. Achar, he messed up. He didn't know about it. We'll talk about that in a minute. He didn't know about it. But the Malbim says that he felt he was right and he felt his father was wrong. Now, normally, if you think you're right and you think your father's wrong, right, and now your father has a death penalty on your head because of what you did, what are you going to do? Argue your case. Argue your case, you know, make your claims, say at least why you think, you know, Shaul was wrong. Shtim, nothing. Yonasan says, that's it, right? If my father says something, and I violated it, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to die. He doesn't say anything. It says the mouth, that was his tzidkus. That was his righteousness. That he wouldn't open his mouth against his father. He wouldn't open his mouth. It was his father. It was the king. He wouldn't open his mouth, even though he thought he was right and he thought his father was wrong. So again, that goes back to the previous pasuk where we said, you know, maybe it does. Maybe it does. His shol has the right to make a cherem. Pasuk mem dalid. Vayomer shol. Ko yase elokim v'cho yosef. This is a language of a swearing that if I don't follow through with something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring all sorts of evil, terrible things upon me. Ko yase elokim v'cho yosef. Kimos tamus yonasan. Shaul says, I swear Yonasan's going to die. Yonasan's going to die. He did something wrong. I said the sinner's going to die, and that's it. Yonasan sinned, he's going to die. Pasuk memhei. Now this pasuk should be familiar to you, or at least to some of you. Daven here motzoi Shabbos and say v'yitan l'cha. Vayomer ha'am el Shaul. Hayonasan yamus. Should Yonasan die? The people protest. The people speak up. Should Yonasan die? Asher asa Yeshua Hagedola Hazos be Yisrael. Yonasan, just yesterday, was responsible for a tremendous nes, was responsible for a tremendous Yeshua, a tremendous victory and salvation at the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the one that you're going to kill? Chalila, say the people. Chalila. Chai Hashem, im yipo misaras rosho arza. Right? They swear. By Hashem's life, that if anything should happen to Yonasan, if even one hair on his head is hurt, right? By the way, I think that's where the expression comes from, right? There's an expression like an idiom, you know, if you touch even one, if you hurt even one hair, you know, from his head, it comes from this pasuk, im yipo misaras rosho arza, right? If even one hair gets hurt, one hair gets touched on Yonasan. Ki im Elokim asa hayom azeh, because he acted today with Hashem, vayiftu ha'am es Yonasan velo meis, and the people redeemed Yonasan, and he did not die. So this is amazing, because essentially the people are speaking up; they're protesting. Shaul says, "That's it. I'm going to. He's the king. He's the general. He says I'm going to kill Yonasan for what he did," and the people protest. The people protest. Grassroots movement, right? You know, they organized a protest and they said you can't do it. So Rashi says, and many of them in Farshim work with this, that this was a halachic argument also, because they said, listen, you could do Ataras Nadarim, right? Meaning Shaul made a neder, he took a shvua, and he said, whoever eats from this is going to die. You can undo a shvua, you can undo a neder, right? We have a concept of Ataras Nadarim, and that's what the people are saying. You know, you can undo this. Now, you know, what's going on here with their argument that Yonasan was, he did the Yeshua HaGadol HaZos B'Yisrael, right? And then the language at the end of the pasuk is also strange. Ki im Elokim asa hayom azeh. He acted with God. What does that mean that he acted with God? You know, what is this talking about? So, the Metzudas David says that the people are basically saying it doesn't make sense that Yehoshua, who caused such a great miraculous victory, should die because of this. It doesn't make sense. Chalila, right? The Metzudas David said, by the way, this interesting point. He says the word chalila is related to the word chulin. Chulin, we know, is something that's not holy. It's the opposite of kachim. Kachim are holy and chulin is not holy. So chalila means it's not holy. This is not the right way to act. This is not the holy way to be. Of course, they were exaggerating with the you know, if even a hair, but they point out that if he was Moser Nefesh to save Hashem's nation, right, would he violate the oath intentionally? He would never do that. He would never violate the oath intentionally. The Radak also seems to say the same thing. Ki im Elokim asa hayom azeh means he did good with Hashem. Yonasan showed bitachon in Hashem. The fact that he and his nosei Kalev went up against the whole Plishti army after establishing the sign, the omen that he did, he was moser nefesh for Hashem. He was moser nefesh for Bnei Yisrael by fighting with the Plishtim, right? So it doesn't make sense that Yonah's son should die because of this. Oh, very good, very good. Very good. Good. So the Radak says, the Radak speaks about this at length. And he says that the people came with a lot of different claims here. Claim number one was that Yonasan was a shogeg. Yonasan did this, he violated this inadvertently because he had never heard about Shaul's oath. Shaul took this oath and he said, Arur, that the person who eats from this stuff is going to be cursed, and says, Yonasan never knew about it. So if Yonasan never knew about it, he's a shogeg, right? So they felt compelled. They had to argue his case because of what he did, because of the great, thing that he did. But he was a shogeg. And furthermore, the Mefarshim say, like Aaron just pointed out, that Shaul said a person should not eat lechem. Now, we discussed at that time, what did Shaul mean? Did he actually mean lechem? Did he mean any food? But one of the arguments of the people here is that he just had some honey. He tasted some honey. He didn't eat lechem. He didn't have a meal. I remember we discussed, is it a suda? Is it not a suda? So that was another one of their arguments. So those were their arguments that he should be off the hook, and because of that, at the end of the pasuk, so it says vayiftu ha'ames Yonasan. So what does it mean vayiftu? So pashup shot in the pasuk, the mafarshim say vayiftu, is that they redeemed him, meaning through their arguments they got him off the hook. Number one, he was a shogeg. Number two, he didn't have any lechem. Right? So he didn't really do anything wrong. Plus, you see, he had bitachon. You see, he was moser nefesh. Obviously, he didn't do it intentionally. Even if he did something wrong, it wasn't intentional. That's clear. So because of their arguments, and also shal kidu ataras nadarim, as Rashi pointed out, so because of their arguments, they got Yonasan off the hook, and Shaul did not kill Yonasan. Now, the Radak also quotes an interesting medrash that says that the vayiftu is not just that they argued for his release, but they actually redeemed it, right? And he quotes three opinions in Chazal. One opinion is that they actually paid for his release, that the people all chipped in and they paid his weight in gold for his release, that he shouldn't be killed. That's one opinion. Second opinion, maybe from the spoils of war, yeah. Second opinion was that they argued, like Aaron was saying, that he didn't even taste any bread. He didn't have a suda. He didn't taste bread. He just had some honey. That was one argument. Maybe that was the vayiftu. And then the third opinion is that the vayiftu is that he just tasted. Tasting, according to the third opinion, is not eating. Right? It's not eating. If a person tastes something and spits it out, there's a whole discussion in halacha about this. Right? But even on a fast day, if a person tastes something and then spits it out, it's not considered that you broke your fast just because you tasted something. Again, we don't do that lechatchila. We don't say you could just put something in your mouth. But if a person did that, put something in their mouth and then spit it out, they just tasted it. That's not, you didn't break your fast, right? If a person just tastes something, a woman wants to taste the soup. She's not going to even swallow anything. She just wants to taste something to see if it needs more spices. You don't make a bracha on that, right? So it's not called eating. So Shaul said, you're not allowed to eat. He didn't eat. Right, Yonasan did not eat. Okay. Now, the interesting question that some of the Mefarshim deal with here is, if it's true that Yonasan didn't really do anything wrong because he was a shogeg, and maybe because he only tasted, he didn't really eat. But then the question is, so why didn't the Urim V'Tumim respond? If Yonasan really didn't do anything wrong, so why didn't the Urim V'Tumim respond? So the Radak has a fascinating answer. And he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't respond through the Urim V'Tumim because he was afraid that if there would be a response, people would think that Yonasan was getting preferential treatment because he was Shaul's son. There were people that knew, right? People knew that Shaul made the oath. People knew that Yonasan tasted the honey. And look, nothing happens. Nothing happens to him. So people will think, oh, he was favored. If it was anybody else, Shaul would have killed him. But because it was Yonah's son, he got off the hook. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically orchestrated this so that the Urim Batumim would not respond. Shaul would have to make this big lottery to figure out who sinned. And once Yonah's son was revealed, everyone was trying to get him off the hook because they loved him and because they felt that he was Moser Nefesh and he was responsible for the Yeshua. So they themselves came up with all the arguments why Yonah's son was really Pater, why Yonah's son really should not have been killed. Once they themselves came up with it, so now they realize he's not getting preferential treatment. He really did it b'shogeg. He really just tasted. He wasn't aware of it. Shaul could do ataras nadarim, etc., etc. All the reasons why Yonah's son was really off the hook. But says the Radak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically orchestrated it this way so that people would come to that conclusion on their own, and they would not think that Yonah's son was getting preferential treatment. That's the Radak's answer.
Well, that's what Shaul was saying.
Exactly. Now the Malbim gives a different answer to this, and he says that no, that really the reason why the Urim Batumim didn't respond was because there was a sin here on the part of Yonah's son. The sin wasn't so much that he ate from the honey. That wasn't such a terrible thing because again he was a shogeg, he didn't know about it, etc. But the sin was that as soon as Yonah's son found out that his father had made this oath and this curse, he should have gone right away to try to get his father to do the Hataras Nadarim and get rid of the oath retroactively. He should have done that right away. And the fact that he didn't, and he waited until the lottery happened, that was Yonah's son's curse. That was Yonah's son's sin. And that's why the Urim Batumim didn't respond. So this is a big chiddush. That according to this, the Malbim is saying the reason why the Urim Batumim didn't respond was because of a sin of Yonah's son, but not what we think the sin is. Not the sin of eating and violating the oath. That wasn't so terrible. It was really the sin of not trying to rectify the situation as soon as he learned about it, but rather just waiting around and seeing what would happen. But if you see a problem, you got to jump and you got to try to solve it. Pasuk Mem Vav. Vayal Shaul me'acharei plishtim uflishtim halchu limkoma. So after this, Shaul kind of gives up and he says, that's it. I'm not going after the plishtim. The Urim Batumim didn't answer me. And even though Yonah's son had been saved, he was still nervous. I made a shua, Yonah's son violated it. Shaul says, I'm too nervous now to go into battle. I'm too nervous. Vayal. So Shaul gets up. He does not go to finish off the plishtim. And the plishtim, whoever was left from the plishtim, they retreat and they go back to their cities. Mem Zayin. Shaul now turns his attention elsewhere. V'Shaul lachad hamelucha al Yisrael. Shaul goes on to cement his leadership over Bnei Yisrael by being victorious again and again in battle. V'yilachem saviv b'chol oyevav. Shaul fights with all of the enemies around him. B'moav, u'bnei Amon, u'v'edom, u'v'malchei Tzova. Shaul ends up defeating all of these enemies, all the enemies of Bnei Yisrael that are all around Eretz Yisrael. Shaul fights with them. Wherever he goes, people start up with Klal Yisrael. Shaul defeats them. And again, victory after victory, Shaul is just plowing through the enemies of Bnei Yisrael. And as he does that, as he keeps being victorious, his kingship is cemented more and more. If you remember in the beginning of Shaul's Malucha, the people didn't accept him. It was not universally accepted. But now the Pasuk says his kingship is becoming more and more cemented and agreed upon. Everyone agrees Shaul is the Melech Yisrael. Pasuk Memches, Vayas Chayil, Vayaches Amalek, Vayatzel is Yisrael Miyad Shosehu. So this is already a hint to the next parak of things to come, which are not going to end up, not going to result in such a great thing for Shaul. But here we have Shaul beginning to fight against Amalek. Pasuk says that he girded himself, he got an army together, and he defeated Amalek. And the Radak says this is based on the next parak, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, commands him to fight and defeat against Amalek. But here it's interesting, it doesn't say that he destroys Amalek. Vayatzel es Yisrael miyad shosehu. The point here was just to save Bnei Yisrael. So he saves Bnei Yisrael, but he doesn't destroy Amalek. In the next parak, we're going to see that Shmuel gives him this directive that he's got to destroy Amalek, and that's where Shaul's problems begin. And really, the Malbim says this is not really the place for this discussion of Amalek, but once we're mentioning all the other battles that Shaul involved himself in, so we mention Amalek as well. But really, the next parak is where we're going to talk about Amalek. Pasuk Mem Tes. Vayiyu b'nei Shaul, Yonasan v'yishvi u'malki Shua. So it says Shaul had three sons here, Yonasan, Yishvi, and Malki Shua. It's interesting, the Mefarshim point out that if you look in other places, there are other names that are mentioned. So for example, when Shaul and his sons are killed in battle, it mentions a son by the name of Avinadav, who's not mentioned in this pasuk. And later, after Shaul dies, there's a son that takes over by the name of Ishbosheth. So there are two other names that don't appear here, Avinadav and Ishbosheth. So there's basically two different approaches here in the Mefarshim. The Radak says that Yishvi is the same person as Avinadav. It's the same person. Yishvi and Avinadav are the same. And Ishbosheth, who's another son, a fourth son, is not mentioned here because he wasn't really a fighter. He didn't go to battle with the other sons, with Shaul. And he survives, and he becomes the king. He's also known as Eshbael in Divrei Hayamim. The Malbim agrees also. The Malbim also says maybe he doesn't mention Ishbosheth because everybody knows about Ishbosheth, because later he's going to become the king. These other sons, nobody really hears about them anymore, so we mention them. But Ishbosheth is going to become the king, so everybody's going to know about him. That's the Radak and the Malbim's approach. The Mitzudas Dovid disagrees, and he says no. He says Yishvi is Ishbosheth. Right? Yishvi is Ishbosheth, who's Eshbael. Avinadav is someone else. Avinadav is a different son, and Avinadav is not mentioned here. He says maybe he wasn't born yet. So there's a fourth son called Avinadav who's not born yet, and that's why he's not mentioned. But he does suggest that that Yishvi is Ishbosheth. So it's a machlokas Yishvi. I'm sorry. Okay, finishing up here. Pasuk Nun. I skipped the end of that pasuk. V'shem Shtei Vinosav, and he has two daughters, Shaul, and one of them will be important later. Shema Bechira Meirav, Shema Ketana Michal. So we're introduced to Michal here, and Meirav is his oldest daughter. Pasuk Nun, V'shem Eisha Shaul Achinoam Bas Achimoatz. His wife's name is Achinoam. V'shem Sar Tzva'o Aviner Ben Ner Dod Shaul. So Ner was the uncle of Shaul, Ner and Kish. Kish was Shaul's father. So Ner and Kish were brothers. Their father was Aviel, which we'll talk about in the next pasuk. And Ner had a son, Avner, or Aviner. Here in this pasuk, calls him Aviner. But in the next pasuk, Avner, Avner ben Ner. And Avner was Shaul's first cousin. Avner was Shaul's first cousin, and he was his general. He was his general. Pasuk Nun Aleph, Ekish Avi Shaul, Vener Avi Avner, ben Aviel. The two of them are sons of Aviel. Aviel was Shaul's grandfather. The Rashi points out that Aviel was also actually known as Ner in Divrei Hayomim because he was a big Baal Chesed. He used to pay for all the lights. He would light up all the dark streets. He would light candles for people to walk. So he was called Ner. And then Pasuk Nun Beis, the final Pasuk, Fatiha Milchama Chazaka Al Plishtim Kol Yimei Shaul. So throughout the days of Shaul, the battles continued against the Plishtim. The Plishtim were never totally finished off. You know, so the battles continued throughout the lifetime of Shaul. The Ro Shaul Kolish Gibor Bechol Ben Chayil Vayasfeyu Elov. And Shaul was on a continuous recruiting mission. Whenever he would find somebody strong, says Rashi, somebody powerful, he would recruit him to come join his ranks and join his army, so that he would have a strong army. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll begin Perek Tesvav, where we discuss, it's really the beginning of the end of Shaul with the Milchemes Amalek, and as we know, Shaul not exactly following all the directions that he was given. Okay.